You know, it's a cloak of evil, because Jesus says, looking with lust is every bit as sinful as touching. Now, maybe in the human terms, we don't see it as being as grievous. It's still sin. And what's more grievous is the craft that goes into it. It's a way of getting around the commandment of God. At least it can be. That's what people use these things for. Loopholes. They love to find loopholes. Like I said, you know, the scriptures say, you know, the gospel according to Peter, in my book, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I read this a lot, and I don't care if you're sick of it. I'm going to read it until I can quote it without reading it. You know, he's talking to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's what we're called to, right? We're called to things beyond, calling us to belief and faith? These are the things we believe. These are the things we affirm. Verse 4 says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by the promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. That's where faith comes in, because we believe the promises and we partake of the things in the promise, which make us partaker of the divine nature. I believe I can be righteous. I believe I can be holy. I believe I can do virtue. I believe I can have glory. And so by believing in those promises, I obtain those things. All the way up to eternal life. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's another thing I can obtain by believing in the promises of God. Because Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You will be free from sin, because whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. You need to be no longer committing sin to be free from it. Free indeed. Not merely theoretical freedom, not merely imputational freedom. I impute freedom to you, but the chains have to stay on. That's not the way God operates. That's not the way the gospel operates. Now, our lives may operate that way. We're declared free before it actually is seen, because sometimes that is how God operates. But it's not to the neglecting of the actual obtaining of that promise of freedom. You have to actually become free, otherwise it's an empty promise. What good is a promise that doesn't come true? If Christ promises us freedom and we remain the servants of corruption, what good is Christ to us? He's no good at all. We cannot remain forever servants of corruption. It must come to an end. Otherwise, Christ is not our Savior. It's not enough that he would just impute righteousness to us. We also must obtain the actual thing. Do you want your resurrection imputed to you? You want to lay in the ground dead forever and have God say, well, I'm imputing resurrection to you. You're alive in my imagination. Ha ha ha! Ha! You know, God is some sort of smart aleck like that. Hey, you believed in the imputation of righteousness. Why not the imputation of resurrection? It's only an imputed resurrection. How would you like that? Well, I don't want my righteousness only imputed. Though I'm thankful for the imputation, because by that, God deals with me as a son before I'm actually a performer of all the righteousness that he has ordained. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you to neither be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you lack these things, you're blind and you can't see. You've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. Wherefore, the rather, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, the scripture says that. Now someone's going to come along and say, well, I have another scripture. I have a great scripture here. Romans 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. Actually, just take that verse. That one verse sums up the whole gospel. That's the good news. Just believe, and you're saved. Wrong. That's not the good news. It's just a part of it. You know, it's like, I've got good news. I've got good news. Yeah? What's the good news? Well, the news is good. Yeah? Yeah. And that's it. I'll give it to you. The good news is this. Everything's okay. That's the good news? Yeah. Don't you want to know why everything's okay? Or how everything's okay? Well, there was all kinds of problems. Well, how did everything get solved so quickly? What happened? We need a little more detail, don't we? Doesn't your curiosity make you want to know more? I mean, if you really believe something as grandiose as Jesus Christ is Lord, if you're confessing Jesus Christ is Lord, that has no further meaning to you than that, well, that's what I believe in order to be saved. That's the whole of the thing. There's nothing really more to it. I believe that. I'm saved. It's good enough for me. It's like someone coming to you with good news and they'll say, well, you know, everything's okay. But what? You know, I mean, the floods, did they subside? Did they survive the crash? What happened? My point is that Jesus becoming Lord means so much more than just you ought to believe it. Jesus' resurrection means so much more than just you ought to believe it. Though if you truly do believe it, it will have a work in you that will cause you to seek more. But if you just believe it because you think that's the easiest way to get saved, God is not mocked, I'm telling you. And he doesn't need to respect your tradition. I teach the gospel in a very specific way. And if you listen to me for long, you'll get the gist of it. But what do they say? And mine is according to the tradition of the apostles. That's how I preach the gospel. That's how I teach the good news. The things you ought to believe that are good about Christ. You know, that's the good news. What do they say? Well, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And he takes out his wallet. This represents sin, and here sin is on the left hand, which is you, and I'm holding the wallet in my left hand, and then Jesus died, and he takes the wallet out of my left hand and takes it on him. And so if you believe this and receive him as your Lord and Savior, you can be sure of heaven right now. And you'll know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Again, already there's traditions. And when you die and go to heaven is another tradition that's not according to the scriptures. Die and go to heaven. Die and be raised from the dead when the resurrection comes. That's the tradition of Christ. So the gospel says, you want to make your calling and election sure? Be diligent and look to observe these things.